Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through verse number 18. As we continue to look at prayer, I've just got a couple of more thoughts I want to look at with prayer, and we'll depart from prayer and go someplace else. I'm really, I'll just wait till I get there. See, I'm not going to say where I'm going, but right now we're on prayer. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Today, when we look at prayer, and we've looked at a lot of aspects concerning our prayer and what it is and what a privilege it is for us to have. I want you to consider today discouragement in prayer. Discouragement in prayer. I know what it's like to go to God for mercy and stand all the while scared and wondering, is God going to knock me down because of all my sins? In Psalm 51, 11, as David writes this psalm of repentance, and a beautiful psalm it is, and it's this psalm of repentance after he is committed this sin with Bathsheba and had Uriah murdered. I mean, David, he did a lot of evil things in this little jaunt of time here. And you can read about all that in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. As you see his sin in chapter 11, you see the Lord's confrontation to him in chapter number 12. And then he writes Psalm 51 here in regards to that sin, that time period of sin in his life. And he says there in verse 11, as he is writing this psalm, he says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." David, writing this prayer, writing this psalm about his repentance before the Lord, understood he deserved just that, to be cast away, to have the Holy Spirit removed from him. He realized that was the depth of his sin. He realized that was the affront against the holiness of God. That what he had done was wicked upon wicked upon wicked against the very God that put him in the position that he had as king of Israel. And so he says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me." It's an awful place to be, to have committed such sin and have committed such wickedness, and knowing how we have brought that affront against the holiness of God, and quite aware of what we've done against his name. But at the same time, even with that fear, maybe in bringing our asking of forgiveness to him, desiring he restore us. In fact, that's David's next word there in verse number 12, restore. He says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." I love that. Now, what a wonderful verse that is. And all of his wickedness and all that David did, I mean, David really piled it on. David doesn't ask to be saved again. He didn't say, oh, well, I've done it now. I've went so far that I've lost my salvation. He don't say that. Because you can't lose it. You don't get it by your power, and you don't keep it by your power. Our Lord is the one that gives it, and he says it's eternal. David doesn't ask for his salvation to be restored, but rather the joy of his salvation to be restored. But in that place, standing wide awake before the majesty of the Lord, having that entrance there into that holy chamber, into that place where we can come in before his very presence that he has afforded us, that he has given to us through Christ Jesus our Lord, and told us to come in before him to bring our petitions. We have no problem going in and laying before him all the things that we want. We have no problem going before him and laying before him all those petitions of the things we need him to answer here and answer there. We have no problem doing that. But when we come in there with our sin, when we come in there with our sin, that's a heavy place. Not because we're any less welcome. Oh, that's wonderful. But because of the weight and the shame that is on us. And so David says, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. When we see both God and ourselves, the sight of that should fill us with a holy fear. A fear of the greatness, a fear of the majesty of God. And along with that fear, a desire for that, and a love for, and a longing for his mercy. Luke 5 and verse number 8. Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, we read here. The disciples had been fishing. They'd come in from their fishing. Washing their nets. And the Lord got into Peter's boat and told him to thrust out a little from the land. And so he thrust out from the land there, and the Lord got up on the bow of the boat there and taught the people that were on the shoreline. And then he says, when he had left off from speaking, verse 4, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Go out there and let's catch us a load of fish, Peter. And Peter says to him there, verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. Listen. The fish just aren't biting. We can't catch nothing in our nets. These guys knew how to fish. This was their livelihood. They were professional fishermen. They knew where the schools were at. They knew where to look for them on the lake. They knew that lake like the back of their hands. They knew exactly where to find them, and they could not find them. The Master says, just launch out into the deep there. Let down your nets for a draught. Notice what Peter says here. We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Because you said so. I'll do it. And when they had done, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. They caught so many fish, the boats were sinking. I've never had that problem before. I've never caught that many fish and my boat was sinking. Listen to verse 8. Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. We talked a little bit about this on Wednesday. When we come to the realization, when we're able to see the absolute holiness of our God, the righteousness of Him, we can very clearly see when we have a clear understanding of who He is and His power and His wonder and His righteousness and His holiness. When we have a clear picture of that given to us by the Scriptures as much as these old finite minds can understand, what immediately follows that understanding is the realization of what we are before Him. How undone, how wicked, how unclean, how unfit, how unworthy we are to have such an audience with the Holy God. Isaiah saw it. We looked at Wednesday there in Isaiah chapter 6. John said he fell at his feet as a dead man. Daniel said his countenance was changed to corruption. Moses' face shined from the presence of the glory of God on him. Peter here, depart from me. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. We're given an open door to the throne. And we are told there again in Hebrews chapter 10 to come in boldly into His presence. Yet we realize we come in with that boldness to enter in, but at the same time with that godly reverence, understanding of who we're coming before. And we must not take that opportunity nor that place where we are at. We must not take it lightly. It's hard to come to God when we are so sensitive to the fact that we are sinners. In those times when it's so real to us, when we see our own condition, when we see our own failures, when we see the weight of our own sin upon us, it's in those times that it feels like the only thing we can do is cry out like the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There are other times when our heart is not as sensitive. when we might be hard-hearted and hard-headed. When God's terror and His holiness, that our heart is so hard that it no longer fills us with reverence for Him. And we deplete in our own mind, and we deplete in our own heart the holiness of God. It's like what we were talking about this morning, where we give ourselves excuse, or by accusing someone else, and, well, God understands. He gets it. He knows what I'm going through. He understands why I allowed this in my life. He understands why I've done this thing. He's on my side. And we demean His holiness. We demean His righteousness. We demean His power by trying to bring Him down to a place where it makes us feel better about ourselves because of the hardness of our own hearts. Yet we know, even in those times of hardness, we know that we still need to ask His mercy. We still need to ask His forgiveness. And yet we are ever in that state of hardness, are ever still looking for an excuse. Well, God, yeah, I know that I've done it, and I know this is not right, and I know I shouldn't have done this, and I know that I shouldn't have allowed this in my life, but, well, would you take care of them other people first and make sure they're right, make sure they're straight, and then I'll repent and make things right with you then. In the rarest times, when we go to God as the publican did, aware of His glorious majesty, aware of our own misery. Turn over to that passage, Luke 18. Look with me here. Look at what the Lord says, beginning in verse number 10 there. It's a parable that He's speaking to them. And particularly, He says, He speaks this parable in verse 9, unto certain which trusted in themselves. Which trusted in themselves. That they were righteous and despised others. They got it in their mind, I'm right. It's everybody else that's wrong. I'm right. It's everybody else that's sinned. I'm right. God understands. It's everybody else that needs forgiveness. And He says in this situation, verse 10, He says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed. Oh, this phrase is so important. Thus with himself. Thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, and unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Lord, look how great I am. Look what I do for you. I'm glad I'm not like all these other people. All this wicked bunch of sinners that's all around me. publican wasn't concerned with the Pharisee. He wasn't concerned with the extortioners and the unjust and the adulterers. He was concerned with himself. Amen. And his prayer, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When we're in that position, when we're in that shape, we won't be worrying about what's wrong with everybody else. Be worried about them. We won't be pointing out their flaws. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says of them here, verse number 14, I tell you, this man, this publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This throne room that we are given privilege to enter in, in our most heavy of times, when the sin has raged in us, when it has destroyed our fellowship with our Lord and even with one another, when it has caused pain and sorrow to ourselves and those around us, it is in this throne room that we are given grand privilege by our Savior to go in when we are at our worst, that we can go in for help, for mercy, for forgiveness, for grace, for restoration. Oh, even when we are most discouraged at our place before God, don't take for granted what Christ Jesus has purchased for you. Come on in to the throne room. Come on into the throne room. Come before the Lord. Bring to Him your prayers, your petitions. Seek His forgiveness and His mercy, because He is ready. He is ready at every place to forgive, to restore, to strengthen, to help in the greatest of our needs. Don't neglect the throne room of Christ. Now, when you go in to pray, intending at that point to pour out your heart before God, and it's your desire, you've come to the place that you're like the publican there, and I've got to get this burden lifted. I can't carry it any longer. It's too great. I've got to lay this down. And you come in to pray. You come in before God to bring to Him this petition for help. And as you bow before Him, you find, I don't have anything to say. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to say it. It's not your words that God looks at. It's not the words. That He's concerned with. It is the broken and contrite heart. That's what He sees. That's what is presented before Him. He will not hear us. Because we've prepared an eloquent speech. But rather it is on the brokenness of our hearts that makes the compassion of the Lord run over for us. In Psalm 51 again, there in verse number 17. Psalm 51 and verse 17. David says here, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken, a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. David still, his psalm here is still a psalm of fear. He's praying, knowing he has, Lord has every right to cast him off. He took the kingdom from Saul. He had every right to take it from David. But David also knows his God. And he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. Thou wilt not despise. In those times you may not be able to talk before His throne because there's too much trouble in your heart. So much trouble, maybe you didn't even know what to say. The Bible again tells us that the Holy Spirit prays for us even in those times when we don't know what to say or what we maybe we know what we want to say and we just can't even get it out. The Spirit of God prays for us. With groanings that cannot even be uttered as He intercedes on our behalf. And so we have, can have, I should say, a great confidence in prayer before the throne of grace. We'd be so discouraged. We can be so far from Him. We can feel so burdened in our fellowship with Him. So troubled by how we have failed Him. And yet because of Christ, the door is still wide open and we are welcomed. Welcome. into his presence. And he's ready to receive our prayers and our petitions before him. Ready. Ready to receive our worship. Ready to extend to us mercy and grace. Oh, it's without measure. It bounds toward us. The scripture tells us that his grace is poured out on us. And that pouring out there is like a waterfall that just continually pours and pours and pours of his grace. Abounding on us. God has given us his Son's righteousness to justify us. He has also, because you are his child, has sent his Son's Spirit into your heart to satisfy you, helping you to cry out to him, Father. Father. Don't ever be afraid. Don't ever be afraid to call on your Father. Father. God has told you to open your mouth. He says there in Psalm 81 verse number 10, open your mouth and I will fill it. Open your mouth. Speak to him. Let him meet the need that you have. Let him restore you. Let him give you his mercy and grace. Don't be afraid to enter in to that throne room. We've been granted a license to yearn before his throne. He's given us permission to be hungry for his delight, to be hungry for his presence, to be hungry for his mercy and his grace. Don't be afraid to desire the great mercies of God. It abounds to you as the children of God. You say, but I'm unworthy. I failed him so bad. I've come so short. I've sinned against him. Do you not know? You don't understand how deep my sin is. You don't understand how awful it is. You don't know how long I've hid this. I'm unworthy. And that is absolutely true. We are all unworthy. But God does not give his children anything that they are worthy of. Nor does he measure his elect on the basis of their sinfulness. God longs for a closeness with his children. Come on in.
Come on into that throne room. Go ahead. The Lord says there in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, in the Sermon on the Mount there, as He has given us direction concerning these times here. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Well, I've got the wrong verse written down here. Wouldn't that be something? Oh, no, I don't. I'm in the wrong book. That makes all the difference in the world. Matthew 7, verse 7. That's the one I'm looking for. That's the one. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Go ahead, seek, ask, knock. Do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. The Lord will hear you. He will hear you. You say, well, I'm not worthy to ask for the greatest things, for the spiritual and the heavenly things, that's too much. But the things of this world are not going to serve you any better. You need those heavenly things. You need those spiritual things. That's what you need. The worldly things don't fill our needs. They don't fill us with joy and peace. It's those heavenly things. Those heavenly blessings. Those spiritual blessings. That's what we need. We're given permission even to desire the best gifts, Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 12:31. Desire the best things that come from our Lord. Desire those best things. Psalm 37 and verse number 4. Psalm 37 and verse number 4. David says here, delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself in the Lord. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You are unworthy. Yes. You are unworthy. We are sinners and do not deserve the least of His blessings. But God, in His grace and mercy and love for us, has given Christ Jesus our Lord for us, for you, that your sins might be forgiven, that you might be made clean before Him. That you might be made one of His. And in that cleansing, and in that giving of righteousness, and in that making you His own, He has given you a place now, an eternal place in His presence that cannot be taken away. That even when we come short, and even when we fail, and even when we sin horribly, and even when we get out away from Him, and even when we make ourselves more and more and more unworthy, that door is still open. That way is still made. We are still in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we still have that ready access, even in all of our filth, to come in there before the throne and say, Father, I'm home. Forgive me. Cast me not away. Clean me up. Draw me close to you. Lord, give me your presence. Give me your grace. Give me your forgiveness. Don't forsake that. Don't take it for granted. Don't be discouraged in your failures. If you are in Christ, you still have ready access before the throne. Come on in. Come on in. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed.